Today I want to talk to you guys about something that I know I've preached before and I've mentioned many times, and I've even opened up service with this before. And as I was thinking today, Lord, what do I preach? What do you want me to teach to your people? Because we have to take the preparation as serious as when we preach. For those of you that are going to preach or are already preaching or ministering, you have to take it serious when you preach to adults, to young people, and to kids. They're all God's people, and God loves them the same. Jesus died for each and every single one of them. So there's no Holy Spirit for the adult, Holy Spirit for the youth, and then a junior Holy Spirit for the kids. He's all the same. Can you say amen? Amen. So before we get into this this message, Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16. You guys got it? We're going to start from right around verse 16, but let me share something very quickly with you. Many of you don't know this, but after today, obviously you will. Mostly the youth leadership knows this because we've been praying, we've been fasting, but there's a wave that has come over the youth group. And this wave is a spiritual wave. And it is, in a nutshell, what it is, it's an attack from the enemy to tire people out, to bring doubt over your life. That's why many of you that are even here, you've struggled to come to church. You've struggled with your faith. You feel overwhelmingly tired. I've talked to people and they feel very tired. When I ask them, at the same time as last year, did you feel this tired at this same time last year? No. But last year was 10 times busier. We were traveling, we were always having prayer nights, Holy Spirit nights, X, Y, Z, all that stuff. But this year, as the Lord said, to take things a little easier, to be not so busy. And I didn't understand why until the attack from the enemy came. And I've seen it in many people's, in their passion, their fire has gone down. If not, let's just think about it. 6 months ago, when anybody up there would say, come to the front, the altar's open, you want to come worship, everybody ran to the front. At the beginning of service, everybody ran to the front. Now, if you take a step back, and while we're worshiping, there's not many people up there. And I'm not sharing this to say, wow, we need to go to the front. No, I'm sharing this because when you take a step of faith, it reflects what's inside of you. And what has ended up happening is that all of us have been affected, including myself, by this attack from the enemy, this wave of being discouraged, this wave of being tired. So now you see it reflected in the moment of worship. There's not many people that go to the front. And many of those that do, it's still very much, you know, I'm just kind of here worshiping. And if you take a second to look around, the people that used to sing with a passion and fire are now just simply mumbling lyrics. Those that used to close their eyes and lift up their hands and worship God with all of their hearts are now kind of just doing and going through the motions. Why? Because this attack is affecting everybody. And today, we witnessed the presence of God being so powerful during worship. But not many people realized it. For many people, it was just another Wednesday. I realized it because the past couple of days I've been in prayer and I've got tired of feeling so stuck in a routine. I've gotten tired of feeling so discouraged and so tired. And where's the passion and the fire? So I decided to come to church and I started to pray and yell at the top of my lungs until I break out of that. Now, could that happen in one prayer? Absolutely. But it hasn't. But I'll tell you one thing. I feel more energized and I feel like I have strength now to overcome this wave. So those that have strength, and not physical strength, but those that have spiritual strength in the Lord will overcome this. Those that do not, you will be overcome by this wave. And I say that not to guilt trip you at all, but this is the reality of the spiritual world. This is the reality that we live in as Christians. Why does this happen? And why does the enemy attack? Years ago, there was a friend of mine. He was a young preacher, and he would take me with him to travel sometimes. And so I remember after one service, this old lady comes up to him. And after he was done preaching, he had talked about living in victory and resisting the devil and the attacks of the devil. This old lady comes up to him after the service and says, young man, I get your passion and your desire, but I want to tell you one thing. The devil and I have an agreement. I don't mess with the devil and the devil doesn't mess with me. And I said, man, that sounds profound. I was young. I was probably 14, 15. I was like, that sounds profound. Yeah, okay. And then he looks at her. And then this really caught my attention. He said, sister, with all due respect, the devil doesn't mess with anybody whom he already has on his side. She got so offended and stormed out of there. And that is the reality. That's why you will see many people as Christians, as believers, you don't have tough lives because the devil's attacking you. You have tough situations and you live tough circumstances because of your own decisions. But those that live for God in purity, those that live for God in holiness, those that are chasing after the things of God, I want to tell you one thing. You have a target on your back. And the enemy, your number one enemy, is called the devil. And the devil will do anything to bring you down. The difference between the attacks and the circumstances we live and those who are not right with God are two things. Or those who are not Christians, sons and daughters of God, is one thing. Is that while we may go through the same thing, we don't walk through the valley of the shadow of death alone. Though the enemy may come attack, we're not alone. Those that are not sons and daughters of God, they walk alone. Because there is a difference between the creation of God and the children of God. We are all creation of God. We were all created by him. But the Bible says that only those who received him, who believed in him, he gave those people the right, the authority to be called children of God. So when people say, I'm a child of God, you have no right to call yourself a child of God if you have not received Jesus in your life. And the Bible says those that have the right are the ones that have received Jesus in their life. And those that live for him. It's not enough to raise your hand. It's not enough to come and cry at the altar. But how are you living? Is your life reflecting that you live for Jesus? Are your desires after the desires of this world, vanity and popularity and wanting to be recognized? Or are your desires, do you want your heart to be aligned with God? That's the question you must ask yourself. And you can tell a lot. I'm not creeping on anybody's social media, trust me, I don't, but I see this all over the place. The Bible says, from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. But how do you know a person's heart if you don't really talk to them? Where else do people express what's in their heart? Where else do people, does that manifest? The sin or the purity or the holiness or the desires that is in a person's heart? It is by their social media. It's by your internet history. That's how you're going to know. Is your heart aligned with God or is it not? Am I living for God or am I living for the things of this world? There's nothing wrong with having nice things. But if those nice things have your heart and your life, then you are a slave to those things and you're not in freedom. And the Bible says that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. The Bible says that Jesus came to set us free. So the only person that should have complete control of our hearts is God, is Jesus. Can you say amen? So as we go through this moment, you have to understand that anything that stands in the way of the devil's plans, the devil will come after. That's why if you start praying for somebody in your household who is not a believer, but you are, and you start praying for their salvation, you start praying against the spirit, because the Bible says in Ephesians that our battle is not against flesh and blood. So if Daniel's really rude to me and he gossips about me and he hates me and he shares things about me on social media and other political things, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. If he acts that way, my problem is not with him. My problem is with a spirit that is oppressing him, that is controlling him. That's why the Bible says that our battle is not against flesh and blood, in other words, against humans, but against the spiritual beings, the spirits and the demons that are influencing in this example, Daniel's life. So that's why you will see, once you start praying against that, you'll see that people get more aggressive. All of a sudden, they get really mad at you. All of a sudden, they have a short temper. Why? Because now you're coming against and you're standing in the way of the devil's plan. So with all of that said, I'm telling you this, that we as a youth group, you as a child of God, you are standing and we have stood in the way of the devil's plan for Sherman, Texas. And I'll tell you, Sherman, not that, you know, that I think we're just, oh, we have so much influence and we're just better than, no. Because when there's a youth group that fasts, when there is a youth group that seeks the Holy Spirit, when there is a youth group that prays, that reads scripture, that refuses to live Christianity just like everybody else, but wants a true, genuine move of God, then the devil, that gets in the devil's plans. Why? Many of you are here because somebody invited you, or you heard about this youth group, or you came to an event, and your life changed around. Just the same thing that God has done in your life, God is doing in Bree's life. And so then you begin to give testimony. So then now the devil doesn't have a hold on you anymore. So then what does that happen? That makes the devil upset. So then what does the devil do? He's going to come against those things and those people that are standing in his way. And many times it's not going to be through division, but in this case, it's spiritual. And that's why many of you feel tired and many of you feel overwhelmed and discouraged. So how do you beat that? You beat that through prayer. And today I'm going to give you the first tool of how we begin to beat that as a group. Can you say amen?
Amen.
So if it hasn't clicked in your mind, we're in a battle. The fact that you're here, and if you're one of those that you scared, like, oh, no, man, I don't, you know how people are like, I don't know, I just work here, right? You're probably like, I don't know, I just visit here. No, you're here. You're also on the devil's hit list. But guess what? The Bible tells us. The Bible doesn't tell us that we should be afraid of the devil. The Bible tells us that the devil is in the same place that he was yesterday, which is under our feet. Under the feet of God. Can you say amen? So we have no reason to fear. You have no reason to fear. What needs to happen now is that now something inside of you has to come up and decide to fight against the attack of the enemy. So I want to read a scripture. Let's go to Acts chapter 16, verse 16. It's a lot of scripture, but I'm going to read some key verses. You can read it at home. I'm going to paraphrase it here. It says, one day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. This is why you can go to those Cleopatra-looking people and Walter Mercado-type people, and they can tell you the future. The gypsies, they can tell you the future because they have a spirit. I was watching a video yesterday. This guy, he was recording this gypsy. He was in Spain, and the lady was reading the palm of his hand, and you're going to be married. You're going to have two kids and blah, blah, blah. And I don't know why. I just wanted to watch it. Like, I saw the smirk on the guy's face. He was like, okay. Then he turns around. And he goes, what she doesn't know is that I'm gay. And I was like, ha, that was off. And you know what's unfortunate is that you have a lot of people who call themselves prophets that they're completely off too. That's why it's important to take every prophecy and pray it. Pray about it. So where were they going? They were going down to the place of prayer. Notice that it says, doesn't say a place of worship, it says a place of prayer. And they met a slave girl who had the spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. So who was in charge? It wasn't her business. She was a slave that had a spirit that was making money for other people. These men, she followed Paul and the rest of us shouting, these men are servants of the Most High God. They have come to tell you how to be saved. Was she telling the truth or not? She was telling the truth. Why? Because Paul and everybody else, they were servants of God. They were coming to tell people how to be saved. Why would the demon tell the truth? I'll tell you why. Not everything that looks positive and looks like it's from God is from God. Many people with their lack of discernment, if we lived in those days, and if many of these preachers and Christians lived in those days, they would say, that woman is God sent. You know what ends up happening? Is if Paul would have let that slide, then she would have told people, they're coming to tell you how to be saved. Paul tells people how to be saved. They say, oh, wow, she's telling the truth. Then that spirit switches, says these people are from the devil. These people come from Lucifer. They come from hell. People believe the girl. So what ends up happening is Paul notices that there is a spiritual authority, that there is something that's called spiritual authority. We're going to talk about that later on. But this is why the Bible says that this went on day after day. But then the Bible says that Paul, it says in verse 18, got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her. Notice that he didn't tell her, he told the demon in her. Why? Because our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the principality. So he told the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left. So let's go a little forward. Her masters were upset. Let's go to verse 22. A mob quickly formed against Paul and Silas, and the city officials ordered them stripped and beaten with wooden rods. They were severely beaten, and they were thrown into prison. The jailer was ordered to make sure they didn't escape, so the jailer put them into the inner dungeon and clamped their feet in the stocks. What is the inner dungeon? There were the cells, and then there were the inner dungeons. The inner dungeons was very at the very bottom, where it was cold, it was rocks most of the time, it was wet, it was dark, there was no light. And that's where all the excrement, all the, if people used the bathroom, it went all the way down, and that's where it fell. So you can imagine what it looked like, what it smelled like, and what it felt like. They were in the absolute worst. And aside from that, they had gotten beaten. Why? Because of their faith. Why? Because they stood in the way of the devil's plan. These people were making money. These people had a way to make money through these demons. And the moment that Paul casted that demon out, there went all of that money for those people. So then they ordered the city officials, they ordered people to come and to beat them and throw them into jail. What's happening here? What ends up happening is this is the devil's attempt to stop Paul and Silas. And in the same fashion, this wave of discouragement, of being tired, and this passion, you feel like it's just not the same. It's hard to go to church now. There are many people, if you look around, there are many people that you used to see all the time. Now you don't see them anymore. There are many people that you say, hey, are you coming to church Sunday? I don't know. Are you coming to volleyball? I don't know. Are you going to youth camp? I don't know. Are you coming Wednesday? I don't know. Are you coming to Holy Spirit night next Friday? I don't know. Because why? This hits everybody. And this is the devil's attempt to stop everybody in this room from advancing and continuing to save souls. Because we're not here to make money. We're here to save lives. We're here to tell people how to go to heaven. Can you say amen? So the Bible says that they were in the inner dungeon. And then we pick up on verse 25. Around midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the other prisoners were listening. What were the two things that they were doing? They were praying and singing hymns. And then the Bible says that the other prisoners were listening. We're going to talk about this whole paragraph or this whole verse as the weeks go by. But today I want to focus on this. They were praying and singing hymns. In other words, they were singing songs to God. But how? In a way that all the prisoners could hear them. How can the prisoners hear? If you're at the very bottom, you're under the foundation, and they're at the very top, you want to know how they can hear them? They didn't have microphones. The way that they could hear them is because they were praying loud and they were singing loud. If you want to see breakthrough in your life, and if you want to see God move and you want to see victory, it is important. It is necessary. It is critical that you sing at the top of your lungs, that you pray at the top of your lungs. That's why today I went to the front, to the very front of the speaker, because if I'm singing straight at the speaker and that's loud, can't nobody else hear me. I don't care how untuned I sound, but I'm yelling it. And last year I told you guys, I will sing until my voice is gone. And I remember for a good month, month and a half, my voice was always gone. It was always raspy. Why? Because I was praying loud and I was singing loud. If you want to see victory, that's how you must pray. That's how you must sing. And you can get over spiritual and say, yeah, but God can hear me. He knows my thoughts. Yeah, he knows your thoughts. But let me tell you something. It's very different when I tell the devil, leave, with a very calm voice, is he going to take me serious? But if I'm yelling at the top of my lungs, then he knows that I'm serious. The demons know that we're serious. And if you want to see victory, that's how you must worship. Today, I got a text early morning from Sergio, and I'm going to read it very quickly. It's just a small little phrase, but so you don't think I'm lying and I'm making this up. This is what he told me, and it really hit me. And I'll tell you the privilege that you have. This is what he said. At exactly 8:13 a.m., I miss singing at the top of my lungs. That's all he said. Why? Because you don't know the next moment in your life where you're going to be. And I said, you can't sing at the top of your lungs there? He said, no. He said, not here in Germany, man. He says, everybody's just, you got to be quiet. You got to be quiet. I said, so what are you going to do? So I sent him a recording that we're working on. We recorded it during Holy Spirit night. And so I sent it to him. I was like, dude, this isn't done. But just blast it. He goes, man, I'm going to do that. So he put on his headphones and he started singing into the pillow. Because what ends up happening is not only do you begin to see victory in your life, but your spirit begins to be strengthened when you sing at the top of your lungs. There are many people here who don't and will not see the fulfillment of your prayer or the answer to your prayer because you don't pray with passion. You don't worship with passion, and you don't pray believing. You want to believe, but you don't. You ever seen I'll show you guys, I'll share a quick story, because this actually happened to us. So we were eating, I forgot what it was, I think it wasn't Father's Day, it might have been Mother's Day, I think it was, I don't remember, but Grace, Christian's daughter, was there at the table, and she wouldn't let her mom eat. So her mom would say, stop, Grace, stop, eat. You need to eat. Just, you know, very loving, very tender-like. And I was done with my plate. And I threw my plate away. And then I saw that the mom still had all the food. And my mom would say, Grace, let your mom eat. Grace, let your mom eat. And she was just getting on the table and doing all kinds of stuff. And I got up and I looked at her. I said, Grace, stop. Let your mom eat. She just looked at me, and then she just kind of got scared, and she stopped. And then she goes, oh, no, I'm done now. I was like, well, you know, I could have waited. But I share that story for the following reason. Because the same thing happens. When you're praying for victory, and you're praying for your family, and you, Lord, I just, you know, I just love you, and, you know, may your will be done. You don't pray like that. When people are sick, you don't pray, may your will be done. The will of God is for you to be healed. But you have to believe that, and you have to pray in faith. And the problem is that when we pray, when we worship, you don't worship with passion. You don't worship at the top of your lungs. So when you start singing, something inside of you is going to change. Something inside of you is going to be produced because of your worship. And when we read the scripture, we see that they were singing in such a way that the other prisoners could hear them. They were listening to what they were saying. When you worship and pray in that manner, that means that they were praying, they were worshiping God, they were singing songs to God at the top of their lungs, that everybody could hear what they were praying, everybody could hear what they were singing. And what ends up happening is that whether they like it or not, Paul and Silas were doing them a favor. Why? Because they were prisoners. Paul and Silas, were they prisoners? Yes, but look what the Bible says. Bible says, suddenly there was a massive earthquake and the prison was shaken to its foundations. And all the doors immediately, say with me, immediately, flew open. And the chains of every prisoner fell off. We'll stop there for today. What ended up happening? The chains fell off. The doors were open as a result of what? Huh? Praying and worshiping at the top of their lungs in a way that everybody could. I hate when people are like, well, it's just my personality. You know, I'm just really quiet. Yeah, get in front of a video game and you start yelling at people. Go to a soccer game and you start yelling. No, that's just my personality. Get in a fight with your sister and see if you still have that same tone of voice. No, everybody has been given a voice. Use it to worship God. Because when you do, as a result, what's going to happen is that the doors will be open. There are people here praying for doors to be open, for college, a college door to be open, for a job door to be open, for an open door in your family. Whatever it is that you're praying for, start worshiping and praying like you believe it. And you're going to see that as a result, the doors will open and the chains will break off. There are people that are still struggling with the same sin. Why? Because they don't pray. They don't worship at the top of their lungs. But I guarantee you, once you start doing that, and even if it sounds crazy, I used to do this. When I was in Bible school, I used to get in the car, and I learned this from an old preacher. He said, sometimes I just get in my car and I pray at the top of my lungs. I was like, that's crazy, man. But then I started doing it. And the first time I did it, I'm going to tell you something. I felt ridiculous. Try it. Go home. As you're driving home, just try it. You're going to feel so stupid. You want me to tell you why? That's the devil's attempt to keep you from praying at the top of your lungs. Why do you think when we're worshiping and it's a moment of prayer, you look around and all you see is this? You don't hear people praying. And that's why people stay stuck in the same sin, in the same pattern. So when you start praying, I used to do this in Bible school. I would get in my car. Thank God for tinted windows. I'd blast music. So I would blast music and I would start praying at the top of my lungs. Father, in Jesus' name. Like, oh, it was my exit. All right. In Jesus' name. And I just pick up. And I just keep praying and praying. And when I was done praying, it's only 5 minutes. Well, then I'll repeat the same prayer again. And I'm praying for the same thing and the same thing. Those 5 minutes grew into 10 minutes. They grew into 20 minutes to 30 minutes to an hour and so on and so forth. But you have to start somewhere. If you want to see victory in your life, begin to pray with passion. Begin to pray with fire. Begin to pray with strength. Begin to worship Jesus. Lift up your hands. Well, I don't feel like lifting up my hands. This walk with God is not about feeling. It's about faith. So you lift up your hands in faith and you say, Lord, I don't see it done yet. I don't feel it yet, but I'm praising you for what's on the way. Paul and Silas hadn't seen the doors open. They hadn't seen the chains fall off, but they praised in advance. They started praying in advance. And as a result, they saw what was in their heart's desire. The Bible says that God will give you the desires of your heart, but what must happen first? You must delight yourself in the Lord. I enjoy, what does it mean to delight? To enjoy being in the presence of God. You want God to give you the desires of your heart? Enjoy being in the presence of God. Do you think that one day I woke up and I said, God, I want to travel the world. I want to preach. Give that to me. Give that to me. I want that. No, I learned to be in the presence of God. I learned to desire and to be in the house of God. I learned to delight myself in his presence. And as a result, he began to give me trips. Now I don't even want them, but they're coming. So I'm faithful to that. When I was young, I wanted them so bad. But until I learn to delight myself, to enjoy the presence of God, then came everything else. God knows the things that are in your heart. God knows the things that you're asking for. God knows what you want to happen in your life. He knows that. He's not ignorant to that. But what he wants first is what belongs to him. Because we say that God is number one. So then if he is the first person in our lives, if he is priority, then we must give him priority. We must give him what he wants first. And that's why the Bible says, seek first the kingdom of God and its righteousness. And everything else will be added on. You don't have to. That's why the Bible says, don't worry. Don't worry about what you're going to eat. Don't worry about what you're going to dress. Don't worry about tomorrow. Don't worry about the things that tomorrow is going to bring. Focus on God, praying with passion, worshiping with passion. There's people, and I can feel it in my spirit, there are people that really like being in the presence of God. They really like coming to church, but they struggle to come to church. They struggle to read their Bible. They struggle to take things serious because their heart is torn between the things of the world and their friendships and what people are going to say. And they want God, but they want everything else too. You can't have both. You either choose God or you choose the world. But I've never met a person that chose God and said, I repent. Because I chose God. Anybody who ever chose God never lost in their life. Their life always got better. And let me tell you something. When you choose God and you choose to live for Him, everything's going to get better. You're still going to have some tough circumstances, but now you don't walk alone. Can you say amen? Amen. You don't walk alone because now you have God by your side. And it's more important than saying God's with me. It's more important to say I'm with God. I'm going to tell you why. Because you saying that you're with God, that means you're confident in the relationship that you have with God and that you're doing things according to how He wants you to do. So if we're going to win this battle, if we're going to win this war, and we're going to see many people come to Jesus, I want to encourage you to worship at the top of your lungs, to pray loud. You want to know how I learned to pray? The worship team, you guys can come up here. Because now we're going to practice this. Amen? Can you say amen? Amen. We're going to worship. We're going to put this in. Well, I don't know the songs. You know how many songs I don't know? And I go, oh, hey, yeah. Because the Bible says make a joyful noise. I know that sounds like a dying cow, but by the time that gets to heaven, it sounds like a joyful noise. Because my heart determines what my praise is going to be like. I decide in my heart that I don't care how I feel. I don't care what's around me. I decide in my heart, I've determined that I'm going to give God the best. So, are there any people here that say, God, I'm going to give you the best? So I want to close out with this. What song are you guys doing? Holy, do you guys know Holy Forever?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you don't know Holy Forever. Lift it up high, because I want us to sing a song that everybody can follow along with. Okay. What's... Yeshua. Do you guys know Yeshua? Yeah. Yeshua. Yeah, okay, great. We'll do Yeshua. Because I want everybody to sing. So this is what ends up happening. When we worship, chains are broken. When we pray, doors are open. So I want you to get it in your heart and get it in your mind. From here on out, every time I go to church, I'm going to fight for my family. I'm going to fight for my youth group. I'm going to fight until I see the great move of God that we've been expecting, because the Bible says that with God, things just get better and better. You go from glory to glory to glory. So we had a great pouring out of the Holy Spirit a couple of years ago, but I want more. Raise your hand if you want more. Raise your hand if you want to see your family safe. Raise your hand if you want to see your friends safe. So then that's why we worship, because God knows our desires. So as we worship, and as we pray, we're not only fighting for our lives and for our youth group, we're also fighting for our family. We're also fighting for our friends, for them to be saved, for our parents' marriage, for our friends and family to come to the knowledge of Jesus. So I want you, where you are, raise your hands. Or if you want to come to the front, you can come to the front. But I want every person in this room to sing at the top of your lungs. Sing as loud as you can. Lift up your hands. And let's begin to pray. We're going to begin to pray before we start singing. So everybody, start praying. How do you pray? Just shout praises as loud as you can. And you say, God, in the back. I want you guys lifting up your hands too. Guys in the back. And I want you guys praying too. Everybody in this room is going to pray. Everybody in this room is going to worship Jesus, because we are